Genesis chapter number 45. Take me a while to build where I'm going to, and I got a short message when I get there. I want you to open up to Genesis chapter number 45. If you find your place this morning, if you'd stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, if you're able to. And I realize not everyone's able, but if you'd stand. Genesis chapter number 45, beginning in verse number 1. Now you see, you already understand the story. Most folks in this building, you've been in church most of your life. You understand the story of Joseph and how Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, and they hated him. And he goes down to Egypt, and he winds up in Potiphar's house. And after he winds up in Potiphar's house, then Potiphar's wicked wife tries to tempt him. And then she lies on him and gets him put in prison. And Joseph spends time in prison. Then he interprets some dreams. And then the Pharaoh brings him out of prison, exalts him to be the second in command, the one right under Pharaoh in all the land of Egypt. And then you see the famine comes into the land of Canaan as well. And Joseph's brethren goes down into the land of Egypt. And they've been down there a couple of times already. And you see as the story unfolds, finally, after the end of all of these happenings, you see Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Now he's revealed himself unto them, and they're shocked in chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." There stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." And he said, it's hard for them to believe. This is 22 years later. He started out as a 17-year-old lad of a boy. Now he's a 39-year-old man. He shaved his head like the Egyptians, wearing the clothes of the Egyptians. Up until this time, he's not spoken Hebrew, but he's spoken in the language of the Egyptians. And they're dumbfounded at what takes place here. And the Word of God said, verse number 5, "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve your posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. And so now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me. Thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. There will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you." Verse 13, "And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck, and moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him, and the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, "Joseph's brethren are come." And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Say unto thy brethren, this do ye, lade your beast, and go get ye into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, and for your wives, and bring your father, and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provisions for the way. And all of them he gave each changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. And he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is the governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. They told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. When he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, his father, revived. And Israel said, it is enough, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Back in verse number 13. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. If the Lord will help me this morning, it'll take me a minute or two to get where I'm going. But I want to talk to you a little bit today on Judah's testimony, or what they told their daddy. This morning I believe if anybody has ever been saved by the grace of God, you have got a testimony. Amen. There's a story that's unique to you that you can tell in your story. No matter how complex it is, no matter how hard it is for you to get it out, your story, if you've truly been born of the Spirit of God, will bring glory unto God. And I want to tell you this morning what they told their daddy. Turn back into chapter 37, if you will. Chapter 37 and verse number 3. I'll do my best this morning. I'll be kind of brief. I'll not be as long as it looks like I'm going to be with all the scripture that I've read. But there's some things I want you to see. I'm just going to build the story this morning and give you the backdrop. Out of the 12 sons of Jacob, Joseph was a special son. He was different than all of the rest of these boys. You see, when Jacob went to take a wife, he fell in love with a woman by the name of Rachel. And he worked for Laban for 7 years to pay for Rachel. But when it was all said and done, after the 7 years were over and he had went in to marry his wife, he thought he was marrying Rachel, and he got hoodooed into marrying her sister Leah. And then he has to stay another 7 years, and 14 years of his life he's given to take the woman that he loves. And after the course of time, he has children by Leah, and eventually he has children by his wife Rachel's handmaiden, has children by Leah's handmaiden. But for the longest time, all of these 10 children were born to him, but there was no children yet to be given to Rachel. And you see, in his old age, that finally God opens the womb of Rachel, and she has this son Joseph. And then later she had Benjamin, and she died in childbirth. But Joseph was special. Joseph was given some special things. Joseph was given a coat of many colors. You already know the story. You already know the significance of this. His brethren were workers and laborers in the field. And the coat of many colors that he wore stood out and made him different. It was not a coat of a common laborer. It was a coat of the boss man. It was the coat of the one that stood in a position of authority. There was something about that they despised. But look in Genesis chapter 37 verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I've dreamed. Behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaf stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams
and for His words. The natural man this morning finds it easy to buddy up to religion without the work of the Holy Ghost of God. And any Christ honoring worship that ever comes about through an individual who has first humbled himself before the holiness of God. Many times this morning, lost and unregenerate men hate God's little youngins, and they don't know why they hate them. That's a real mystery that you're going to face in your life, child of God. There's going to be people that despise you, and they don't even know why they despise you. But I'll tell you what it is. They despise the authority that God's given you. They despise the love God's given you. They despise the grace God's shown to you. Hey, if there was anything that the Pharisees hated any more than the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they hated the authority with which He spoke them.
Amen.
This morning I stand before you not in arrogancy and not in pride, but I stand in boldness, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, I know that I know that I know I have been born of the Spirit of God. I have a Heavenly Father, and I'm on my way to another country.
Amen.
I know that. Yes. There's no doubt about that. That bothers a lot of people. Joseph was a prophet that was ordained of God, and his brothers hated his dreams and they hated his words. But you know, that's no different than the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to His own and His own received Him not. God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
And if you ain't figured this out already, as you look through this Word of God, there's all kinds of beautiful pictures. There's all kinds of nuggets of gold. There's all kinds of beautiful types and foreshadowings. But you see here that Joseph is a type of the sweet Lord Jesus Christ. And he went to his own, and his own received him not. He tried to speak to his brothers in his spiritual terms and his spiritual dreams, and they just hated his guts.
Right.
Joseph was special. You see the story unfold this morning. There's a lot of men that are going to go to hell because they're not willing to submit to the authority, like these brothers would not submit to the authority of Joseph. And I'll give you some attributes of Joseph, and I'll tell you some things about him. I'm still building this morning, but I want you to notice the lowliness of Joseph everywhere he went. He was misunderstood. He was mistreated. He was misrepresented. He was lied about. You see, the first thing that took place is his brothers plotted against him, intending to kill him. They wound up taking him and putting him in a pit, probably a dry well, and waited until some Midianite traders came by, and then they sold him. And those Midianites took him down into Egypt, and they sold him there to a man named Potiphar. And you see the lowliness of all the things that takes place in the life of Joseph, but you never hear Joseph whine or complain about what takes place. He goes to Potiphar's house, and God gives him unusual favor. And then Potiphar's wife comes, and she tries to tempt him and tries to lead him into an adulterous affair. And he runs from her, and then she tells lies. And for the next 13 years, you see Joseph spend his life in prison. And while Joseph's in prison, he still don't complain. He still don't badmouth anything. He's just down there doing his thing. And he has favor with God and with man in every situation he winds up in. And while he's down there, after 11 years, he interprets the dreams of the butler and the baker. And he tells the baker, you're going to be executed, and the butler's going to be reinstated to his butlership. And he waits another 2 years for that butler to fulfill the promise that one day, when he had an opportunity, he'd tell that Pharaoh about that man down there in the dungeon. And you see the loneliness. You see 13 years in prison, 2 years waiting on the butler. And by this time, and by the time he's exalted to the prime minister of all Egypt, he's been away from his father and been away from his family for 22 years. There's a loneliness in this man. There's a loneliness in this man that reminds me of Isaiah chapter 53. Verse number 3 says, he is despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 said, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. But after this time's over with, he's exalted. And he suffered all of these things, but finally he's brought to the place where he can stand in the place of honor. God, through his providence this morning, and I'm getting where I'm going now. God, in his providence, after that Joseph is brought to this place, sends a famine over the land. Now, stay with me just a minute, and I won't be very much longer, but you stay with me right here. When you see the famine come in the land, that was the providential hand of God. For if it were not for that famine that came in the land, those brothers never would have went down to Egypt. And they never would have seen Joseph. This morning, there's folks in this building ought to interrupt the service today and stand up and thank God for the famine that came in your life a little while before you got saved. God put you in a place where God got your attention, and what used to feel good and what used to thrill you, all of a sudden wasn't no thrill left in it. What you used to look to and what used to bring you joy and bring you a little bit of peace and bring you a little bit of comfort, all of a sudden that was taken away and there was no joy, no peace, and no comfort. And God got you to a place through a famine where you begin to look and say, there has got to be something better than what I've got. There's some of you in the last few months have woke up to a realization you've spent a lifetime as a church member, but there's got to be something more to this thing than what you've got. And these old boys down there about to starve to death in Canaan's land said, there's got to be something better than what we've got up here. 10 of his brothers go down to Egypt. But see, Joseph's got a plan here, and you see the plan starts being acted. First of all, they were accused of being spies. And he said, I'm going to let you go back. He said, you're going to have to bring your little brother Benjamin with you next time. And until you come back, I'm keeping Simeon, and don't you come back unless you bring Benjamin. Well, they went back to the house, and they got back to the house, and he had put all their money back in their sacks. But you know what that said? That scared them to death. They thought, there ain't no way we can go back now. They're going to think we've stole the money. And that's just God's way of saying that you can't buy salvation. You ain't got nothing God wants or God needs. Do you know that this morning? They didn't have one thing in them sacks that Joseph needed or Egypt needed. And he was just showing them they didn't have anything to offer. They didn't have anything to give. And there's a whole lot of folks that will come to church for a little while until God deals with them. And God rings their bell and they'll run. It's a funny thing to me. You see a lot of folks that they like church real good till God starts showing up, and then all of a sudden they got to run off somewhere else and find somewhere else to be. The folks have run from him for a little while, but I'll tell you what, it got a little bit more desperate. And finally they went to their daddy one day, and daddy said, boys, you're going to have to go back down there to that Egypt and get us some more grain. And Judah begins to talk to his daddy and said, daddy, he said, we can't come back if we don't bring Benjamin. He said, you ain't taking Benjamin. He's all I got left out of that precious marriage that I had with Rachel, and you ain't taking him. He said, well, if he don't go, we ain't going. There ain't no way we can go. And finally, you see, Judah says, I'll be surety for him. He says, I'll be glad to stand for him. And he said, if anything happens for him, you let me take the blame for it. And then they go on down to Egypt's land, and when they get down there, they meet Joseph again. They took their little brother Benjamin, and Simeon comes out to them, and they sit down and have a feast in the house of Joseph. And Joseph brings them real near, but Joseph still, by this time, he don't reveal himself to them. They don't know who he is. Stay with me. They don't know who he is, but they know there's something good about this place. They know there's something good about this fellowship. And there came a time where Joseph saw them together, and he had to slip out of the room and go somewhere and weep over his brothers. You know what Joseph was doing? Joseph was watching them to see if there was any remorse. He was watching to see if there was any repentance in their heart over what they'd done. They still hadn't got to that place yet. They wasn't ready to give up. They wasn't ready to surrender yet. So what did he do? He sent them back out, sent them home. But this time he puts their money back in their sacks, and he takes his own silver cup and puts it in Benjamin's bag. They get a little ways down the road, and an unnamed servant, a type of the Holy Ghost of God, goes and runs them down. And he said, y'all stole from my master. Well, they got mad about that. They said, we ain't stole nothing from nobody. Just look. If you find something here, you can kill us. Well, they got to looking. Sure enough, there was that cup in little Benjamin's sack. Boy, this time they was broke down. And you know what they was thinking the whole time? They wasn't worried about that cup. They wasn't worried about that money. And they wasn't worried about that sack. The whole time going back down to Egypt's land, they was thinking about when they was back over there feeding their father's sheep and they put their brother in a pit. And they said, it's because we sinned against our brother Joseph that we're going through all this. And finally, they're starting to get a hold of this thing. That there was a sin in their life that had caused a separation in their life. And they begin to deal with that. And when they get back down to Egypt, when they get back down there in front of Joseph, when you get back to chapter 45 where Joseph reveals himself to them, you see what happens here as old Judah gets down in front of Joseph. He still don't know who he is. And he pours his heart out to him. And he said, I'm so sorry. He said, I'm in a mess and it's my fault and it's not your fault. And it ain't this little boy Benjamin's fault. And when you see Judah do that, you see Judah is a type of the sweet Lord Jesus making intercession for little Benjamin. It wasn't Benjamin's fault that he was in that position. Benjamin didn't even do nothing to get there. But he was the type of a lost and unregenerate man. And you see Judah as he gets to this place of repentance, and it's where he got to that place. Joseph revealed himself to him. And then I read you that chapter. Stay with me. I'm giving you all introduction, but I'm fixing to get the message right now. When he got to that place, he said, I want you to take these provisions. And I want you to go back to Daddy. And I want you to tell him the glory that you've seen. And I'll give you a little bit of his testimony. I believe this is probably what Jesus said. Jacob's sitting there waiting on them boys to come back, and his boy Benjamin has gone with them, and he's worried, and I don't know how long it took, but it was a good trend. And while he's sitting there on the porch one day, he looks down the road and sees his boys coming back, and I believe Judah was in the head of the pack. And Daddy noticed something right away. Them boys come back different than there was when they left. They was pulling wagons along with them. They had all kinds of donkeys and they had all kinds of animals. They had all kinds of stuff for coming back. And I guess he was scratching his head and scratching his beard wondering what in the world has took place. My boys don't look like they did when they left here. And they got back to the house and I could see Judah said, Daddy, you go ahead and sit down, Pop. You ain't gonna believe this. He said, your son Joseph that you love so much and you made that coat of many colors. You ain't gonna believe this, Daddy, but he's alive.
Yeah.
He lives. Daddy, I know he lives because I talked to him. I done fellowship with him and I've sat with him. And I poured my heart out to him and I admitted my sins. Daddy, I'm telling you, he's alive.
Yeah.
Daddy, through all this stuff, we've been going back and forth down to Egypt. We've been running. Daddy, you know how we're scared because we got back and there's money in our sacks and we're scared to go. And he done kept Simeon and he was wanting Benjamin to come. Daddy, the whole time we was going through all this stuff, Daddy, he was leading us. I said he's leading us. Daddy, he had a plan the whole time. He knew what he was doing. He was putting that thing together when I couldn't see it, when I didn't understand it. He knew what he was doing the whole time.
Yeah, amen.
Daddy, you see all this good stuff? You see all this stuff we brought back with us? What he says goes, Daddy. Because not only does he live and not only has he been leading us, but Daddy, he's the Lord of the whole land. Daddy, you see all this stuff that he sent back here? You see all these goodies and you see all these donkeys and these camels and you see this stuff pulling these wagons here? Daddy, he's not only the Lord of the land, he's loaded. You all see what all he's got back down there in Egypt. Daddy, you ain't going to believe it. You just can't wait, Daddy. You're going to see what's coming ahead. For 22 years, he had been down there without his family. For 22 years, he had looked and he had waited. And when he got all of his brothers together and had a feast for them in his palace a few days earlier, there was a time that he said, Daddy, I watched him. And Daddy, he had to go out of the room and cry. And he said, Daddy, this don't make a lick of sense.
But Daddy, I believe the whole time he's been gone, instead of hating us, instead of building up a bunch of strife in his heart, instead of destroying us, Daddy, I believe the whole time that he's been gone, I believe he's been longing for us. And Daddy, there's one more little old thing I need to tell you. While we was down there, I poured my heart out to him. Daddy, you don't know this because we'd never told you before, but Daddy, we plotted against him. We didn't like him, Daddy. We despised him. We despised the words that he said, and it always made us feel uncomfortable when he was around. And there he was, different from everybody else, and he wasn't like us, Daddy. And we treated him so ugly, Daddy, we meant to kill him. We put him in a pit we found down there, Daddy. And then we lied about that thing and brought his coat of many colors and dipped it in some blood of an animal and brought that back to you and told you he was gone. And Daddy, after all the mean and nasty, ugly things that we've done to him, when we was down there at his house, he come out and he revealed himself to us. Daddy, we wouldn't have known who he was if he hadn't showed himself to us. But when he did, we was stunned. But said after a minute or two, Joseph fell on Benjamin's neck and kissed him and wept on his neck. And Daddy, I could understand that because that was his blood brother. But Daddy, we're just half brothers. But Daddy, when that was over with, when he got through dealing with him, Daddy, he put his arms around me and he wept on me and he hugged me. And Daddy, after all I've done, he still loves me. This morning, I don't know much to tell you, but I know every page in this book points to the darling Son of God. I know every story in this book somehow or another points to the Son of God. And I know there's folks in this building this morning, you're bound and determined you're going to go to hell, and it don't matter what Preacher Mike says or anybody else does. So I listen, this morning I'm just going to brag on Jesus. He lives. If you'll let Him, He'll lead you. And He is the Lord and He is loaded.
Yeah.
When you didn't care nothing about Him, He was longing for you.
Amen.
Boy, you think about it. I think about some precious folks. I can look back across this congregation this morning. I saw you going through troubles and hardships in your life. And you didn't realize the whole time that God was leading you. And the whole time He was leading you, He wasn't trying to hurt you. He wasn't trying to make you humiliated and try to make you look like a fool. He was trying to get you in a position where He could love on you. And that's exactly what happened to these old boys. It took a whole lot of work to get where they was going in 22 years of time. But finally, Joseph got them into a place where He could show them how much He loves them. This morning, of all the unexplainable mysteries of the world and all the wonders of this whole world, one of the greatest ones that I know of this morning is how in the world, after the way I've treated Him, could He love me? How in the world could He care about me? I lied on Him. I lied on Him for years. I told people I was saved. I cussed the wallpaper off the wall, do old filthy things, and go here and yonder and do everything under the sun against God and tell people I knew God. But Sam, I was lying on Jesus. And what He still loved me. He still cared about me. You know what? This morning, He still loves you.
Amen.
You say, Brother Mike, you don't know what I've done. No, you don't know how much He loves you. He cares about you this morning. He's a sweet Savior. I want you to bow your heads.